Welcome to another episode of Marketing Corner. Today's episode is number 70.
7-0.
Yeah, 7-0. And since it's a round number, we actually have a bit of a special edition. It's a two-part series, and we've invited a guest. Yay! Woo!
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah. I think that's super cool. Like, one of the things Jen and I put together when we started 2024 was like, okay, we gotta have more guests and we gotta have
Yeah.
more, like, we wanna have more cool people in. We wanna talk growth. We wanna talk cool things with cool people. So, here we are. And today we have Fred Linfear. Let's have a say. Yeah. Is that right?
Yes, that's
Nailed it.
perfect. Perfect,
Perfect.
Casper.
From Plan Day. It's kind of cool because both Jennifer used to work at Plan Day, and I've been in the space together with Fred for quite some time. We know each other quite well. So Fred was on our bucket list of people we wanted to have on, and now we finally got him. So this is exciting.
Yay.
I just for everyone, so I can't I don't think I'm like without busting any balls or anything, Fred here. I'm just gonna lay it out. Like, I think, like, at least from my perspective, you are what I call, just like I often refer to, a bit of a growth wizard. Like, you know a lot about growth, like growth hacking, product-led growth, and all these cool things. But that's actually not where we want to start. We're doing this in a two-part. So we're going to talk growth hacking, all these kind of cool things on the second episode. But today, in this episode, I kind of want to focus a little bit about how you got there. Like, what's your journey been? So, without me talking too much, like, start by introducing yourself, Fred, to the audience who might not know you.
Sure. It's funny that you say growth wizard. If you ask Stefan from Dream Data, I'm a growth janitor because I clean up a lot of shit. So that's kind of my nickname sometimes. But yeah, my name is Fred, and I'm currently at Plan Day leading the growth team there. And Jesus, what I've done. I mean, I started my career actually in as a musician. That was kind of what I thought I would be doing, playing music, and that's kind of, and computers. That's how it all started. So I used computers to figure out how to create websites in the early days, and then figure out how can you maybe make money on this. So obviously went into affiliate marketing and, ClickSense and or all those things. And that's when you kind of learn, okay, here's how you create the website in WordPress, here's how you kind of rank it and get into SEO, and then figured out that I'm actually making kind of more money on that than playing music. Could be also that I was playing in a death metal band. It's very niche. Yeah, I ended up went to uni, and then I got a job at a company called SKF, a Swedish ball bearing factory, a 100-year-old industrial company that I've never done any digital marketing, and I was kind of could come in there as the crazy scientist kid, and just show them the world, and that was really cool. So that's how I started, and then after that I've been in companies. I moved down here to Malmö in Sweden and started also working for a company called Capture One, photo editing software, when they were actually Phase One, but they wanted to really scale their software business. So I did that for a couple of years until they got acquired, and then it was time to leave, and then went into a startup in the health tech called Drugstars, kind of reminding you to take your medication app, but then you also can give to
I was next to
charity.
them. They were on at
Yeah.
the. They were. Yeah. Did we meet there, Fred? Like,
Maybe.
okay. So okay.
I
Look, this is funny. This is not planned. Just for everyone listening. So let me just. Were you when they were at Rainmaking Loft, right? They were
know.
there at some
maybe
point.
maybe that's what it's called. I mean, they started a couple of years. I came on fairly late. So it might have been maybe when they used moved from rainmaking. I'm not
Yeah, I think
100%
so.
sure.
Yeah. Wow. God. Oh my God. I didn't even know that. That's such a small world. Okay. Sorry,
Small
keep
world,
going.
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's smaller. But then that it unfortunately they ran out of cash, and I think that's also something I like to talk about, when that you need to hire a sort of a the growth role as early as possible. So we couldn't really make it work with the time we had left on the runway. So Yeah, so after that failed, and I kind of needed a new job, and I was hired on at Planday, and that's where I've been since end of 2021, I think. Yes, God, that's a couple of years now. Yeah, so yeah, here
Yeah.
I am.
Oh, amazing. Wow, I love it.
And I also have to say, I also do some advising on the side, and I work now for a really nice company called FastSpring, a subscription management company, which I also think is super fun because I used to be their customer, and now they brought me on as an advisor a couple of years back, and that's also super fun.
I have some of my tools that use FastSpring, actually.
Yes, I think there's a couple of them.
It's quite a few. Oh, that's awesome. All right, super cool. I have a question, just to kick it off a little bit. So, because for me, you've always been like the you I always associated with the word growth, right? Like, how did you, because like I have one story, but I would love to hear your story. How did you get into growth? Like, how did you at some point say, like, hey, growth is my space? Like, why isn't it just like, hey, I'm Fred, I'm a marketeer, like I'm a head of marketing, or I do paid search or whatever. Like, how did it become growth? Like, why that?
I think that's more the world around us coming up with these buzz terms, and first it was growth hacking, and now it's growth. But now when you look at some of the jobs out there, it says growth, blah blah blah, and then you kind of read, wait, that's a sales job. It's like they want me to grow a market using sales. So I think I've been doing the same thing as far as I can remember. You're kind of trying to look at the whole problem and figure out and have a system. Same when I did the websites, in the early days, affiliate marketing, I wanted to figure out, okay, well, how can I come up with a way so I can launch 10 WordPress sites in a month instead of one? And the whole process from doing the research, finding a niche, and then having a site up, right? That process has always been something I've always been kind of digging into, and that's kind of growth, really. But it wasn't called that then, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because I was also curious, as another growth person, I went from marketing to growth. So how would you, I have my own idea of like the difference, but what's the difference for you between marketing and growth?
I think growth looks at acquisition and retention and monetization as a whole. I don't really put myself as a. I mean, I've done the marketing bit, but I've equally also sat like, well, at drugstores, it was more working with the product, really. So it's kind of being agnostic there, and working across all the different things that needs to work, acquisition, activation, and all these things. Yeah, I think that's the difference from being marketing. But usually the growth function is either placed in a marketing department or in a product department, depending what the situation is. One can be much worse than the other. I mean, because there's always silos in between. And if you see in the US, where it's more of a function that is dedicated and might sit across a lot of teams, because one problem is when you work with growth is that you really shouldn't own anything more than doing growth wherever it is. I mean, I at Planday, I own the website, I own paid acquisition. It means I have to pay the invoices and maintain it and localize it into the countries.
Great ownership there, Fred. That's the best part. You have to pay the bills.
Well, I mean, you have to do the boring stuff, the admin stuff, but I would rather just be like, I'm just going to run all these crazy experiments and then hand it over to the team that owns it that can kind of implement it. And then that's the dream kind of scenario when it how I would see that the growth function should work, because it takes a lot of time to do all this stuff, and you can't do that many proper experiments if you also have to, own and maintain and do implement, fix the cookie policy, and and the website infrastructure is wrong and the data is crap, so you have to
No. Can I ask you something? So it's kind of funny, because when I was a Templify, I remember I had to frame my growth position at some point, and I was like, okay, I feel a bit like Batman. I'm kind of doing I'm doing what's necessary, but not everybody loves it. Like, do you sometimes feel the same, like when you do growth things? It's like, Does everyone love it when you do growth? Like, is everyone always in agreement with what you're doing, or like?
No, not at all.
No. I'm
No, not at
sorry.
all.
You weren't asking me, but
It's like you're the annoying person that just keeps picking at things,
yeah.
over and over again, and you come with a lot of data that why we should be doing this and why we shouldn't be doing that, and then I'm also the one that would kind of like, well, I mean, we got to leave the opinions out of this, and saying all these maybe sometimes uncomfortable things that you kind of have to learn. And I think during later years, it's important to kind of do that in a not so cocky way, that it's the stakeholder management, and be able to kind of present this so it doesn't, because it could be that you're talking about something that someone's implemented that's had, well, maybe that wasn't a good idea,
Yeah.
So it can, and it, that's not what it's about. It's never like in personal. It's just like we just gotta figure it out. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, but I think, like, just to add to it, I think about it the same, a lot the same like you. Like, the young Casper, he would be a lot less fuck the stakeholders. I'm doing what needs to be done. But the older Casper here, like not that old yet, 33, but I'm more like, okay, gotta make sure stakeholders are happy across the board. Like, stakeholder management is much more of a thing for me now than it would have been just 5 years ago, or like 6 years ago, right? You
That's a
gotta play the
super
game
good.
at some
You
point,
got to
right?
play the game. I think that's one of the, yeah, that's one of the biggest learnings I had too. Of like, I was same as you guys, like, fuck it. This is what we should do. I'm doing it. And now it's like, is everyone okay? Is everyone all right? And I don't know. Also, I mean, you're both Scandinavian, where there is a little bit more of a flatter structure where you do want to get everyone involved. Whereas I come from an American background that's like, fuck you. This is what we're doing. Get in line or get out. So yeah, it's definitely adjusting. And I did have, so I had a follow-on question about that, because you did mention like the pros and cons of being like in product or being in marketing. Our growth team is very, very firmly within a marketing space, right? So we are doing a lot of acquisition. Like you said, we own the website. And then when we want to do these growth things, we have maybe 15 minutes of bandwidth to do a real growth thing. And then we have to go back to our kind of making sure we keep the lights on. Is that something that you guys experienced, or is that kind of what you meant?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, and the thing is also because marketing is really about delivering a promise that at some point the product have to fulfill, right? So if your authority or the way you can influence kind of stops after they sign up, it's very easy that the marketing can kind of continue because and create this great marketing, but then they might it might be problematic once they reach the product. You have these product roadmaps, they all have to kind of move together in unison, and that's where the stakeholder management I think comes in, and have to really work hard at that. And that's something I've noticed, because it's very easy with marketing. You can kind of, I mean, you can optimize and figure things out until the metrics goes your way, but then in the end at some point there's going to be like, hey, that's not what's going on. That's not what I thought I signed up for,
Yeah. Yeah, makes
Exactly.
sense.
I think I kind of want to like kind of jump a little bit on this. So, and one thing you mentioned before we got live on air here a bit was like talking about some recent experiments or campaigns you've been running at Plan Day. Can talk a little bit about like that, how like that go-to-market motion, and like a little bit how that came to fruition. Maybe tell us a little bit about the story you told us off air, if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I think yeah, I mean, you guys know this with the whole thing where, okay, well, how do we actually create demand and capture demand and all these things? I mean, and it's that you always try to communicate that there's only so much there to capture, right? At a given point of time, so you need to have motions in place that continuously is fill up that bucket, and that's where I think where we in Plan Day started to try to build these more meaningful top funnel campaigns that trying to go into the connect in a different way than here's our product that can do this and this and this. We're talking more about, the life of the shift worker, and that we all in the company kind of, I mean, I've been a dishwasher, I've worked in bars, everyone in plan, they kind of have some relationship to it and have worked there as well. And it's and that's really in the end what we're trying to solve for. You're not just like the company that buys the product, but also the company's employees, to make them make it easier to, swap shifts and all these things. And I think that's what we're trying to do. But of course, in every investment, there's always, there needs to be some type of success metric around, or figure out like, well, how can we see if what we're doing working? And that's really hard when it comes to top funnel and brand campaigns. I mean, we have attribution software, and maybe we'll add self-reported attribution, but in the end, you won't be able to see all of it. So you kind of have to just, what I think is, you have to just focus on what, like, that we're giving a lot of value without, expecting a return, and trust that that is will pay it off, forward. So and I think those conversations is very sometimes they can be challenging, but it's been we've been having a lot of these conversations, and it's really, really good and interesting, because everyone needs to, if it's our team, or if it's, higher up, they need to, at some point, there needs to be an be able to explain to someone, we're doing this, we're investing in this because we need to get, this over here, and we might be able to see it correlated in some way.
Exactly. And I think this is super interesting, because this is like, Jen, you and I, we've been talking a lot about this. Like, because like, if for, as an example, like we have at Sparkforce, we deal with a lot of B2Bs, and I'm not gonna lie, like a lot of our clients have cut budgets and had like some of them have had even had layoffs. I've seen a lot in the last year, let's put it that way, right? Like, things are rough out there for a lot of companies. And when I did a webinar not too long ago, I asked the marketeers to join there, like, hey, are you investing more in demand generation next year than you did last year? And I think it was 70% who said they were investing more. And I
Really?
thought that was
That's cool.
so interesting. Yeah, exactly. Because like, and it sounds a bit like you guys are having the same discussion. We're like, okay, we fucking need to build that demand. We need to build the top funnel. We need to build those kind of things. And I find that interesting, because like, that's the, that's the toughest route right now, like, to go that way. Like, because that's an, you can't prove it, but we all know it's the right thing. Like, most of us, like, I at least know, right? For most of the cases. But how do you fuck do you convince your CFO of that, right? Or essentially, right?
I think it's I mean, I think it's just, you kind of have to just continue hammer the message that we all know is like, hey, there's only 5% at any given time, or whatever it is, the benchmark is, that will buy your product, right? So we need to, of course, have that capturing part. If you have that working, and I think we have it working fairly well, and we have a really good setup where we can bounce budget around and capture, more with paid when we see more, and it goes. But you also see you can really see the fluctuations, that you can never say that, well, this month they were more, mid-market in Norway, and it was more small business in UK, and then next month it's the opposite, and they're like, why is that? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Great question.
It's just what's there. I can't decide if it's going to be a small customer or big customer. They all search the same way, and that's our main motion, right? So we need to figure out, how can we create demand in a targeted way towards either small or mid or whatever
This is
in
a
a certain
question that,
market.
and this comes up a lot. I've seen it as well, where it's like, we need to get bigger deals coming in inbound. And you're like, yeah, that'd be great. But inbound, we're casting a net and we're hoping people come in. It's not outbound where it's targeted. So how do you get more larger deals to come through inbound? We sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's yeah. So
It's a tough one. I mean, it's I mean, I guess you can get to some point with LinkedIn. There's some classification you can do, that there's more bigger companies at LinkedIn versus Other channels. I don't know, Casper, you know probably this more than me. You're like the LinkedIn god.
Yeah, that's my forte.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's I think it's just an interesting discussion too. Like, I always like find it interesting what's going on inside of a company. Like, how do you make these decisions? I always find that interesting. We're slowly running a little bit out of time on the first one. And as I said, we want to focus a little bit more on like the growth and PLG and all this that fun stuff on the other episode. But there's one thing I really wanna like. I want to be a little bit ballsy here, Fred, and I want to ask you the question that that has been on top of mind. If you had to pick one thing you think is wrong with today's marketing, what would that be?
Wow, so much.
You have to
Just
pick
one.
one. We just have time for one.
No, I mean, I think that the problem is that we keep regurgitating the same playbooks. It's like no one spends time on actually coming up with the playbook.
Good
And
point. Yeah.
like everyone else that comes in, they're just gonna apply on you the same playbook. So yeah, I think that is in a sense what I think. We should spend more time coming up with new playbooks that are for our company, because if it works where you were before, it's not going to work the same way in this company, and you kind of see that everyone, they start a new company, they bring with the same tool stack and everything, and yeah, it gave us a lot, but it's not. So
Yeah, that's a
it's
great point. I love that. Come up with new
I think
playbooks.
that I see that a lot. Like, whenever leadership changes, like when as an agency, we always see that the leader new leadership always comes in with their strategy, their new team, like everything's just like, hey, this is my playbook. I'm like, okay, cool, run it. But yeah, it's a different company. All right,
Cool.
cool.
Well, we're running out of time on this one, but we're going to dive deep into PLG in the next episode. So hopefully we'll see everyone then. So thank you so much, Fred, for part one.
Thank you
And
so much, guys.
see you on the
And thanks
next
for
one.
tuning in and stick around for the next one. Take care. Bye.
Bye.